I remember so clearly a year in about the 15th of November, and my dad had an uncanny ability to predict the weather. He watched the direction of the wind, he watched the sunset in the evening, he watched the formation of clouds. He never talked about this, never talked about how he did it. But he would say one morning, did say one morning when we were getting ready to go to school, walk to school, he said, "You better wear your boots today, it's gonna snow." And we looked at him like he's nuts because it hadn't snowed ever so far this season. So we take our boots and we trottle off to school. And about mid-morning, we're looking out the window, doing long division or whatever I was working on. And there was this first little flake of snow, and then there would be another one, and then another. And it would hit this big long window, and then you would see a little trickle of moisture come down when the snow flake melted. And then another, and another, and another. And we all perked up and looked out the window when we're supposed to be paying attention, because it was the first snow. And we were like young calves let out of the barn in the spring. We're all outside and we're looking up at the sky. It sounds so silly. And the snow is coming down ever more and we are running around and yelling. And one kid says, "I think we have enough snow to play fox and geese." And fox and geese is a game that you play in the snow. We played it in our little softball diamond. And you walk a big circle, everybody one after the other. And then you do a cross that circle. And then there's a place in the middle. That's home spot. And fox and geese means that one person is the fox. It's a kind of tag game. And the kids run around, the fox tries to catch them. When you get in the middle, you can stand there and the fox can't catch you because that's a free spot, but only one person can be there at the time when you get in there, and the person has to leave and back running around. And the fox is tagging these kids as they're running around. And the last person to be tagged, that person becomes the next fox. Oh, what fun it was. We've been waiting all fall because we've been playing Anti-I Over and Run Sheep Run and all those kinds of outdoor games, waiting for that we could play fox and geese.
Snowballs are up the tree, guys.
And then the snow accumulated enough and somebody said we ought to have a snowball fight. Well, a snowball fight in a country school was something to behold. We had a rule, a number of rules. You never, ever hit a kid in the head with a snowball. That was an out and out no-no. And whenever somebody was hit in the head, which they were on occasion, we as a group sort of determined if one, it was an accident and then it would be overlooked, or if it was on purpose, which it was sometimes. And now a collective judgment had to be made. Did this kid deserve to be hit in the head with a snowball? Had he done something to the kid throwing the snowball that deserved a punishment in return? Or had this kid throwing the ball done this maliciously? Once we've figured that out, and kids have an uncanny way of figuring things out, if we figured out that the kid deserved it, nothing more was said. If we figured out that this was a malicious act, we would grab this kid that threw the snowball, throw him down in the snow, and wash his face with snow and push snow down his neck so he would never do this again and would remember that there are rules in snowball fights.
Snowball in the face.
That was something very democratic, I would suggest. We were learning early on how to care for problems within our midst. We were very fortunate. Our grandmother was a knitter, And almost every year for Christmas, we would receive from Grandma Witt new wool mittens. And she also made for each of us a woolen scarf, huge scarf that you could wrap around your head three times, keep your ears from freezing, your nose from freezing, and anything else from freezing on your head. Well, after one of these snowball fights, wearing our woolen mittens, and most of the kids had woolen mittens, or I don't remember anybody having gloves. Most everybody had mittens. All these wet mittens were hung around the wood stove in the back of the school. And if you've ever smelled a wet sheep, that was the smell in the back of our schoolroom, because there was this tremendous smell of wet wool as these mittens were drying, mixed in with the hint of oak smoke coming from the stove. And if it was close to noon, on top of the stove was a pan of water into which those of us who brought jars of soup from home, all of that was bubbling, and so the smell of the soup that was warming and the wet wool and the oak smoke provided a kind of intermingling smell that I've never forgotten. Smells are something we often don't think about in our memories, but smells have tremendous impression on us. They are embedded in our memories, and I can think about these kinds of smells forever.